Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Twins back in action tonight. If they can be back in action against the Nationals, Steven Strasburg, if he's healthy, he's great. Rocco Baldelli, if he's there, gives us nothing. Last night when they were without big knocker after big knocker after big knocker after big knocker, again, Adam Carter told us we had great at-bats. We had great at-bats. No, they didn't. They had one great at-bat. That was Mr. Polanco. And after that, they were feeble. These two teams, by the way, do not have matching off days. The rest of the way, this ball game could start at 12:45 tonight.
Got to get it in.
Could be a late night. The Dazzle Man and Mr. Provost might be there for a long, long time. So our coverage begins 5:30, right? 5:30.
First pitch.
What do we think of these 6:40 school day starts as a person who just clicks on it? I like personally like it on a little earlier.
Yes.
Love it.
Yep. I'm for it. This is out of Boston, Massachusetts. Are you familiar with that area, Adam? Boston, Mass?
The Windy City.
It is the Windy City. HOV lanes. We have plenty of those here. What they're suggesting this story is that there are numerous Twitter groups where they're monitoring the HOV lanes and they'll say, you're free. Go ahead. Jump on in. The water's warm. There are no police officers ahead. Then it goes into a lot of other detail that's minutia about the Massachusetts area, so we can skip that. Do we think we have those here in the Twin Cities metro area?
Like Twitter groups?
Twitter groups to basically
so
tell
these
you.
These are the Twitter equivalent of calling up old Wally Walker on KQ saying that they got a fundraiser happening on 494 to slow down.
Is Wally Walker still
I think he
on
still
the
is.
Radio? Is he still at KQ?
I believe he is.
It's a great name, right? Wally Walker. There was a Wally Walker who played with the Seattle Supersonics also in the 70s or 80s when I was first getting mesmerized by the National Basketball Association. Wally Walker. Yeah, just Cook, doesn't that just sound like a good name? Wally Walker.
You got to love the alliteration for
yeah.
sure.
W's work with an alliteration. We must have these Twitter groups, don't you think,
yes.
Dan? $3.94. Hey, you're free.
Dan says yes.
Okay.
I like it. It's going to be a new game. What does Dan say? Let's go to Adam.
Let's go to Adam. Find out what I say. Yeah, no, I'm sure there's something. You know, I'd be real nervous about trusting Twitter, knowing what I know about Twitter
yeah.
with this information. Because some clown's going to come along and just try to mess with people.
Right.
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 Oh, no, there's no cops there. Don't worry about that.
Do you think we spend enough time paying? Because I do. I pay for the transponder. And
la-dee-da.
La-dee-da. Hold on. Let's see yeah. here.
Well, la-dee-da.
And I'll say the majority of it is to get my son, but I'm not going to lie. There are times also when I might be getting the horse breath.
Yeah.
Or I might have spent 3 hours with Adam, and I need that cocktail. I need that friend, Mr. Red Wine. So to say I'm only using it for a kid.
Beaujolais.
Beaujolais.
Yes, Wally Walker's still on.
Good.
Middays, 10 to 2.
He's our rival.
Yeah.
He's taking us
we're
down.
We're coming for you, Wally.
No, we're not, really. We're more power to you. Does it say how long Wally has been at KQ?
Well, I know for sure since I was in high school. So
I was going to say my entire life. I mean, when did Tom start at KQ? Tom started at KQ 84, 85, somewhere in there. I mean, think about it. The most successful radio person in the history of Minnesota is Tom Bernard. 85, 86, somewhere in there.
79.
That's when Wally started?
Yes.
1979?
But he's been at KQ since.
He must have moved. I mean, you know what it tells you? Get a gig at KQ,
yes.
Cook.
Yeah, that's
man.
Extraordinary.
And be good and be really good at what you do. Do we spend enough time looking for the cheaters in the HOV lanes? Can we go to the Google Cook? I meant to do this and see what we charge folks who are cheating.
Sure.
In the HOV lane. Adam, again, you're the MnDOT head. I've just appointed you. What should the punishment be for illegally spending time in the HOV lane?
$150, first offense. Second offense, $500.
Third offense, right leg. So then you can't drive
anymore. Can't drive, yeah.
Can't drive anymore. Cook, what do you think about that? $150, $500, right leg. That's what we're going with.
Well, I mean, the right leg might be a little strong. I don't know that I can
stop,
go that.
Stop you from cheating?
Probably. But I don't think that.
Unless you're that committed, you know, get the prosthesis.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe a broom handle or something. I mean, you can make it work.
How many people drive with the left leg?
Every once in a while, I'll try doing both.
Oh, my God.
No, just right.
Right. Oh, I can't wait till you're off the air so I can tell you what happened to the brake.
Right foot gas, left foot brake.
Okay,
NASCAR style?
Can we call Chief Arredondo? I know we can't get him on as a guest. Can we just get him to come in and arrest Carter for that? He just occasionally just tries the both legger. You think that's what they call it, the both legger?
I doubt that's what they call it.
Percentage of people go just left leg.
Just with the left?
Just left.
Leg, drive with the left leg?
Yeah.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%. Yeah. I'm going to go with you. Carter, try it tonight. Get back to us. See how it works out. What are the numbers, Dan Cook?
Trying, but we're having some internet problems.
Yeah, we're definitely having this internet. While you're looking for that, next topic. Tipping. 0 to 10, Carter. Evaluate yourself as a tipper.
I am
0 to 10.
To a fault, I am a generous tipper.
Well, la-dee-da. Well, la-dee-da. Get that shoulder back in its
did
socket,
you hear
okay?
that? Did you hear him just say that?
No, it's because I'm too...
I'm too generous. You know?
I am. To a fault, I'm too generous.
To a fault. You know, in fact,
it is because when I
picked up some coffee the other day and I left $100.
No, I give 20% even when it clearly
isn't worth.
I'm
not sure that... Cook, does that count... Does that count to a fault? I'm too generous, 20%, which is now the accepted figure of 20%.
I'm not saying, I said that is the acceptable figure, but what I'm saying, why it's a fault is because I'll give 20% even when it's not warranted. I'm too gutless to give, you know, the...
Let's go with it. Let's go with it.
10%.
I'm going Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Jesus Christ, and then Adam Carter in that order, who have helped out mankind.
I heard Gandhi was a lousy
Jesus
tipper.
Jesus wasn't a tipper, yeah.
Plus, he couldn't get in there. He wasn't wearing shoes, yeah. Right? I mean, come on. Tipping, who do you think are the best tippers? Who are the worst tippers? We've established the best. It's Adam Carter. After that, who's next? Who's the best? Who's the worst? We'll give you that topic in moments. Text away, 651-989-9226. Among the comments through the text to us at 651-989-9226, big tip or small manhood?
There's no problem, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Might explain a lot for Adam, Mr. Big Tipper. Why are these twits twittering while driving on the HOV situation? Soon they'll expect 25%. It's tough when you're poor and can only eat out once, maybe twice a year. Chad, current or former servers are the best tippers and least high maintenance. Spent a few years serving at the Plymouth Red Robin. I've been there. Fine, Red Robin. Good, solid burger place. I've been stiff more times than I can count, but also received some amazing tips for a few $100. Cook, apparently Carter's been heading over to the Plymouth
Sounds
Red Robin.
Like it, yeah.
Up to a few $100 here.
Yes.
Take care, my friend. Thank you.
Women are a lot more likely than men to always tip their hairstylists, wait staff, and food delivery people. Boomers are more likely than millennials to always tip restaurant servers. How about this one? 89% to 66%. Millennials. Pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
Two out of three times you're not tipping? Taxi or ride sharing, 63% versus 40%. Again, who isn't tipping? Mr. Tip to a fault?
Mm-hmm.
Uber, Lyft.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Hairstylist. Well, you pay $250 for your haircut, so for sure you do.
25%.
Food delivery, 72%, 56%. Again, who doesn't? Millennials, half of millennials, somebody brings food to them and they don't tip them? If I was doing that, and who knows? You know, I know a lot of listeners are hoping I will be doing that. I'd say give me my tip first.
Yeah.
and then I'll decide if you get your food. What about that policy, Cook? See how much you're going to, and I'm here.
Yeah.
Here's your food. What's in it for you?
We'll see what condition you get your food in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although you contend, didn't you contend the other day, like you think half the people eat the food when they're bringing it out to them? Because remember we had that story about the percentage of people eating, and I'm like, no, I don't think
somebody would sneak like a fry or something like that.
Yeah. One slice of the pizza is gone. What happened? I don't know.
It's a different shape.
Came out of the oven. I don't know.
It is just a different shape. Median tip, they claim at restaurants, is 18%. Those who work for gratuities are better tippers. 28% of the U.S. adults have held a job which they routinely receive gratuities, and restaurant service and average 22%. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're 20% does seem like the norm now. We three of us agree with that?
Right. And as much as that it's, you know, easier to compute than 18% is anyway. So
let's not forget this guy, by the way.
I can't wait till you're off the air so I can tell you what happened.
Well, what is it before taxes?
Yeah, I tip off the
tax. I'm not tipping off the tax.
Yeah. Sheely was just adamant on that. Then he was adamant if the town had different taxes compared to the other one. I mean, is there any doubt Sheely is capable of just looking somebody in the eye and saying you were terrible?
Not
and leaving
quite,
you
no,
nothing.
No question.
No question, yeah.
On a regular
basis.
Well,
I mean, what?
That's such a good Sheely. He's also the guy who basically admitted he would call DirecTV and cancel like every other week and then get various deals.
I had a buddy like that. He'd just switch back and forth because they'd be begging him to come back and give him.
Don't they see it? Like if Dan just keeps calling.
I mean, if they don't, it's on them, isn't it?
Yes.
And there's I mean, the cable and the satellites are such a scam anyway. I mean, I don't fault Kyle at all on that one. There's plenty of faults the man
has. I was going to say, I think the key phrase there was, on that one.
On the tipping only on pre-tax, he's out of his mind.
All right, so this is out of Sydney, Australia. A video showing the 51 people murdered at the church, okay? It carries an offensive title, New Zealand Video Game. And it shows people.
Oh, boy.
This shows the death, okay? Australia spurred to act like New Zealand. New Zealand act decisively. Has gone further than almost any country. The government is now using the threat of fines and jail time to pressure platforms like Facebook to become more responsible, and it's moving to identify and block entire websites that hold even a single piece of illegal content. Penalties are severe. Enforcement is largely passive and reactive, relying on complaints from internet users, which so far have been just a trickle. The heart of the effort sits in an office near Sydney's Harbour E-Safety Commission. It's led by Julie Grant, American, with tech industry experience. They now have a mandate. It's grown in its capacity to 50 full-time employees and has a budget of $17 million for the fiscal year. Lawmakers have said they will consider increasing resources, but at the moment the team enforcing law consists of 7 investigators. So Australia basically is just, you know what they are right on this one, Carter? All hat, no cattle, right? Australia's pretty big. 7 people monitoring websites in Australia. That's like us monitoring traffic in New York City. Obviously, they don't have First Amendment. We do have First Amendment. And this is a topic that comes up, you know, all the time. When a mass shooting takes place, or the rise of Antifa or white supremacy or just other filth that is out there on social media, the responsibility of Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, you name it, the responsibility of others, where is the government role for this? Where is it too much? Because, again, the First Amendment is to, you know, watch the government from suppressing you. It's not from other outlets, and people distort that on a regular basis. We are in a country of enormous size. 300, what are we at? We've got 330 million? Is that where we're at? Somewhere in that general vicinity? When you consider all the outlets, it's literally impossible to be looking at every place. Facebook is the one drawing the ire for a lot of stuff, and they've earned it. We all would agree for a lot of things. What is realistic for government punishment in our country right now on a new system that either President Trump could set up, President Warren, President Carter could set up, where we could somehow thread the needle. We could thread the needle in this country of First Amendment. It's offensive. It's filthy. I hate it. But the government should not be stopping it. But we're also aware of what is inciting violence, showing violence, and we can pull it off. I'd love to feel like we could find that line. Adam, I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what might be create the line is these these deep fakes, man, that they're going to create these videos that will actually look like people are saying things they're not, or people just will be able to say, well, that's a deep state video. That's not me saying that.
Yeah.
Because that is, I mean, how much misinformation are we going to allow?
I think that part, and I think that's a great point, Danny Ushaman. I don't think we have any idea where deep fakes are going. Look at what 2015 and 2016 was all about with Russia, right? Mm-hmm. And the efforts that were omnipresent, and then you just debate how powerful and effective they were. If you think they had no effect, then you basically say no advertising works, okay? Now more countries have seen that. More outlets literally could have Donald Trump saying anything, have Elizabeth Warren saying anything, have supporters saying anything, and what are we in? We're in the instant, we got to react fast, we got to condemn that, we got to applaud that, as opposed to trying to determine, is that actually really the person speaking at that point?
Well, we know the Russians are still working on, you know, more stuff to interfere with elections in this country. You don't think that's on the menu at some point?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, they're going to try that. And how in the world do you sort that out? We say it all the time. The bad guys are so far ahead of the good guys when it comes to cybercrime that it's almost shockingly funny, because the only way that the FBI can manage to try and catch up with some of this stuff is to hire the bad guys to come work for them.
How about this, Carter? Are we going to see examples where it's going to be determined that supporters of candidates in this country put out deep fakes to aid their candidate?
Yes.
It's going to be omnipresent, right?
Of course.
Right? Yeah, our business trying to determine if something is legit or not. Good luck to all of us in this case. 2:28, she's in the house. Dara, she'll be flying on a variety of opinions starting in about 4 or 5 minutes. She's in the house. You can check her out Twitter at Dear Dara, the most recent Minneapolis St. Paul magazine, the cover, 89 Things to Go Do Now. Let's get to a few of these. Trucks stopped right here on page 46. Tell me about the trucks featured in this particular issue.
All right. So we're all aware that the Twin Cities dining landscape has been transformed past couple years, right? Because we've had a bunch of food trucks that have then, in the lingo, gone to brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about some of these places. Smack Shack, that started as a truck. Yeah. It's kind of hard to remember.
And that place, it seems to me, is killing it, right?
It's killing it. It's wonderful.
Great
it's
happy
kind
hour.
Of landmark. But it, you know, started as a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Ola Arepa.
Yep.
That, you know, birthed not only itself and then also, you know, Hi-Hi in Northeast.
Yeah.
So that's a landmark.
Yep.
And then Hot Indian. How many Hot Indians are there now? Half a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, so,
also great.
So the food truck, the food truck to Britain Mortar, it's a beat, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the latest? R.A. McSammy's. So I didn't really like it as a truck, but now they've got a brick and mortar, 48th in Chicago, South Minneapolis by the creek, and added barbecue, and it's really good.
Okay.
They have brisket, they have ribs, they got all the stuff.
So that's kind of interesting if you just thought okay as a truck, but then when they had the chance to do more, you feel like they upped it. Because I would think that'd be rare, right? Wouldn't you that...
Wait till I tell you about this next
one.
It's exactly the same story. So Bark and the Bite, another truck.
Yeah.
They were just recently in a place in Northeast, just a little deli counter. There was a fire there, though. They relocated. If you remember the Heirloom restaurant space that's on Marshall, just kind of up the hill from the Lake Street Bridge on the St. Paul side. And they also, a much larger, you know, bigger location, smoked pork, smoked turkey, and oddly... jackfruit. The vegan barbecue is a big thing. But anyway, and I like this new Bark and the Bite better than I like their last two incarnations.
Okay.
So they're growing into it. And then finally, there's Cheese Louise. That was a truck, and now it's in Linden Hills, little fancy grilled cheese place.
Okay, I love grilled cheeses, right? We actually were talking off air about that. It was a Q cheese, is that what it's called?
Oh, or, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just
Nick's O cheese.
So O cheese. I thought it was so mediocre.
Yeah, it was. I agree.
At best, by the way, and I wish you all the best in other ventures, but it just wasn't that good. Can you have a really good grilled cheese place? And again, I'm a huge fan of grilled cheese.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there's a certain demographic? It's just a certain kind of meal part where you're dining with people that are very picky and you're running around. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's what Noodles and Company is. Like, it's just picky eaters and you're on the go, and now we're at Noodles and Company. And because, you know, I don't think anyone has ever, I mean, maybe somebody ever is just like, you know where I want to go for my birthday? You know, like, it doesn't really have that draw.
If they're like 10, yes, they want to go to Noodles and Company. Not if they're 24, they do. But, like, if you really care more about the whole restaurant scene, you don't.
Kids love Noodles and Company.
Yeah,
but it's like
I like Noodles and Company.
For their birthday, they want to go to Broder's. Like, even they know, like,
well,
there's a step
your
up.
Your kids do. I think a lot of kids just are still fine with Dave and Buster's. And, you know.
Dave and Buster's has other stuff going on. Yeah. The arcades. Oh, my goodness. I think my kid would probably trade me in for a Dave and Buster's.
I know there's a certain 18-year-old trade me in. Okay, wine bars. Do we continue to need more wine bars? Are we adding a fair amount of wine bars?
We're adding one big one. So, like, all the world of wine is waiting for this thing called Bar Brava to open.
Okay.
And that should be, you know, in the next couple weeks. And that's in way north Minneapolis, right where Broadway joins 94. And it's going to be that very cutting edge, you know, not made with any additives, you know, from really good vineyards, like la-di-da. So that is the thing that's happening. And then kind of all of these little seismic shifts are happening around that. And so Troubadour, which has been kind of the natural wine bar of note in Uptown, just changed hands. And so that seems nice. They're going to be doing more kind of customer-friendly outreach things, and I got the scoop on that in the magazine. And Meritage chain, you know, like now the whole St. Paul French wine situation is all being run by the owner, Desta, and she has shifted that. And so it's more personal. It's about her travels, and she's really trying to make it accessible. Like, you go in now, and she will give you this whole wine book, and that does always sounds a bit intimidating, but it's all full of these color maps that she has made herself. And it's very engaging. It sort of feels like you're, you know, got like somebody's Nat Geo project that they made where they were, you know.
Right.
And then you can drink it. And there's so the wine scene that we have has been small, and now it is small and shifting around. And I don't know if we ever talked about this, but Aaron, the sommelier from Bachelor Farmer, got recruited to go to this like superstar project out in California.
He was that good.
Oh, she was so good. Yeah. Aaron Rolek. And she was she's just like swooped up, taken to Malibu, and she's opening this thing. It's going to be like the best chef in Mexico City.
Well, la-di-da.
Yeah, I'd say that's a nice little adjustment.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go with Aaron. I mean, I'll go to Malibu and hang out and just drink. I mean, I'll just be like, yeah, this is good. Yeah, this is good.
I know.
That sounds good. Okay, now you've ranked, the magazine has ranked the Minnesota apples. Adam Carter, enemy of America. We've debated this many times. He's down on the Honeycrisp. He thinks the Honeycrisp is overrated, though he will admit, and normally I just take his stuff completely out of context for my purposes, but I'll tell the truth this time. His point is they're good, but they're just too expensive.
Well, that's the same problem they got with Porsches and Rolls Royces. I don't know. You're going to hold that against them. I love Honeycrisp, but you know, that is not what came out at number one.
I know. I see that.
And they didn't let me or people like me even weigh in on this. They got Apple experts. So people like David Bedford, who developed a bunch of these, is an apple breeder, and Gretchen Purbix, who runs Sweetland, and one of my favorite orchards in the state. If you're going to go visit a place, it's down in Webster, Minnesota, Sweetland Orchard, because I like these new orchards where you can go and both buy alcoholic cider and also buy the apples and do all the apple, you know, climb on hay bales and such things.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of this. But, okay, you're right. Honeycrisp is too the rave first kiss wins the gold medal.
Yes. Yeah, that's the new one.
I was going to say, that's fairly new, right?
Everybody's super into them, and you have to know.
I don't think I've had it.
Oh, you have to know where to get. Okay. I'll tell you a secret. You can go to Pine Tree Orchards. So Pine Tree Apple Orchard in White Bear Lake, they have some of the first of these first kiss trees. So write it down. They are some of the only places you can get it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of time, though, until it goes bigger, I'm assuming.
And then maybe we'll bother Adam because maybe they'll cost even more than the Honeycrisp. I will say my favorite apple.
Guy spends $500 on a haircut, so he shouldn't be talking.
Oh, heavens. What is he? I can't remember the name of that politician who got felled by that. Who was it?
Edwards.
Gary Hart? Oh, no, Edwards.
Yeah.
John Edwards.
Johnny, well, he got in trouble for a variety of things.
They're all like in one thing in my mind.
Yes.
Like politicians that went down in a haze of... Anyway, so...
Women?
Yes, exactly. Fancy women.
And good haircuts.
And yachts and sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That's the brain cell that just fired. But my favorite apple of all the apples is actually only in the second tier, according to our experts. And that's a chestnut crab apple. I love a chestnut crab apple. So it's a big crab apple. It's like the size of a tangerine. The flavor is just so great. I love them.
I have to try that too. So I'll just give you the top, the way it's ranked here. Rave First Kiss, Honeycrisp, Harrelson, Sweet Tango, Fireside, Honey Gold.
Yeah.
Those were the top. That's on the top ranking here. The golden apples, as you call them.
You know, and then some of the – I like a lot of these. Then they start to be like pound puppies to me. It's like I can't believe the Prairie Spy came in at the third tier.
Yeah.
Prairie Spy is a beautiful apple. It's so just
not according
bitingly
to the experts.
Crisp.
Oh. Well, the experts are most down on the Beacon. I mean, they're tough. Mushy, early apple that's good for sauce is throwing at your friends.
Ugh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beacon.
I don't know.
You're better than that. Cook, it sounds like the Beacon's literally, you're better than that.
Literally.
I mean, if it's just to throw it, I'd like to get those just to throw it, Carter.
Bring me your Beacons, your Red
much.
Barons, your State Fairs. I will take them all.
Oh, that's not you. Seriously, you're here because you're willing to savage, but you're trying to be open-minded here on
the apples.
I don't
know. I got a big stock pot. I would make some applesauce. Why are you people? Why are
properly
we bringing these?
Rated, by the way. Applesauce, properly rated. I like a little cinnamon in there.
Yeah. One of our kind of weeknight, you know, get-it-done dinners is a big old Norwegian sausage from Ingebretsen's and a applesauce. That is delicious.
Sounds excellent. I'd take it right now. 245. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call for 50% off installation labor on Infinity by Marvin Windows. Paul and Jordana follow us. Matthew Dowd, 12:35 tomorrow. Shaletta, 1 to 2. My father, 2:35. Bacon Bash. You've done this before, right?
Yeah, I think this is our fourth year, maybe.
Yes. Okay, remind folks, River Falls, because I always say this. Great underrated town. Doesn't get enough credit.
It's so close. I think people forget how close.
Yes.
So really, it takes me an hour from South Minneapolis and even St. Paul. It's close. And it's just the prettiest little town. And it is the nation's largest free bacon festival. So that means you get in for free.
Sounds great.
Then you buy tickets and there's all these breweries set up with just in the shade there by the river, and then there's bacon food. So you can get bacon pies and bacon sticks and bacon nachos and bacon this and bacon that. But it's just like so small town friendly, and all of these vendors set up little booths. And so it's just like if you haven't gotten enough summer festival and you want just exactly the right amount of it, it's a delightful
Perfect.
Thing. And then they throw pigs off of a big – so it's like the other thing.
Excuse me?
When pigs fly contest, and it's hilarious because they're like, catch a pig, but it's a little tiny stuffed animal. So this guy dressed as a pig throws stuffed animals and kids.
I was going to say, it might have been more notable that you're telling us that live pigs are thrown off a building.
These tiny pigs. And the children just stampede this way and that trying to catch these tiny pigs. And it is the funniest. And then later there's a kids contest to eat pigs, but it's little cupcakes that are frosted, and then the kids have to put their hands behind their back and eat these little cupcakes. It is
They got
hilarious.
A lot of stuff going on. Excellent.
It's fun.
All right, Ann Kim, featured in a huge New York Times
goodness.
Story, right?
Yes, by
That's a lot
son of the governor, Brett Anderson, wrote that. Wendell Anderson's son.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Didn't realize that. Okay, but her new project in the old Lucius space, so lofty expectations for this, the Lucius space and Ann Kim.
Yeah, Suki and Mimi. This is not what the Time story was about. The Time story was about her generally, but she mentioned this. And okay, so her maternal grandmother on a Korean side was Suki, who inspired her by being a great cook. And then Mimi, very intriguing. So this was her, the person who sponsored her was her, you know, mother's sister's husband's family or whatever. Anyway, so in that part of the family was a woman named Thelma who went by Mimi, and apparently she was just a hoot. Like, she would have a scotch and soda every day at four, and she took these little girls to the children's theater, and that's what inspired Ann Kim to grow up to become a children's theater actress. And she was just very, you know, classy in that nice 1960s way of cooking French food and having cocktails and, you know, special plates and all that kind of stuff. And so she was so inspiring that Ann Kim is opening a restaurant named after her and maternal grandmother. And so they're saying it's not going to be – initial rumors were all tacos. That's not it anymore. So apparently it's hand-ground tortillas, and then everything else is like – I think it's going to be basically like Young Joanie. You know how Young Joanie is like – has pizza, but then it has all this other stuff.
Yeah, has plenty of other stuff.
Yeah, it's mainly other stuff.
Yeah,
and then I think that's what Suki and Mimi is going to be, even though she wouldn't say it. I think it's going to be some tortilla things and then plenty of other stuff.
Okay, tell me about this barbecue place that you believe in. Another barbecue place. We have a lot of barbecue places, okay?
We have just been getting one barbecue place after another. All right, Tewa. I decided that we should really cast some love upon the old school places. So Tewa is a Vietnamese barbecue place. It's been on University in St. Paul for 30-odd years. I dropped by recently, and gosh, it is just still phenomenal. And you get this roast pork, so it's like a whole pork, and they chop off a pound of it, and the outside is so crisp, and the inside is so tender. And I just decided to start calling some of these people that are running the new school barbecue, and they're like, oh, yeah, I was totally inspired by Tewa. That's why I opened my restaurant.
Really?
It's like, yeah, this is the kind of stories we need to surface.
All right, let's finish this, because I think this is a good one, because we've had this debate many times about how loud some places are, how restaurants are just so crazy, and even some great places where it is... it's a challenge. But you point out the number of places where you can go and either by yourself or maybe a smaller group, and you can actually have a conversation and it's not an issue whatsoever.
Yeah, I put this together, this list of 10 restaurants. And one of those things you kind of do and all of a sudden everybody is sharing it and it just blew up. It made me realize how many people are tired of super loud restaurants. Manello in the Hotel Ivy, handmade pasta, just this very luxurious space, so quiet, just lovely. In St. Paul, Jones in the Park, that's just a one of the underrated places we don't talk about too much. Susan Dunlop and Joan Schmidt, their restaurateur and chef pair, who's been making this very welcoming, simple, quiet, lovely space forever. And it just kind of, those places that kind of take the stress away from you when you walk in the door, I think that's the hardest thing to do.
That's what I do with Dan Cook. When I walk in, I take the stress away from him.
Except 180 degrees, the opposite direction.
Okay. Yeah. I knew it was something like that.
Town Talk. I know we don't talk about that very much. But,
I haven't been there
historic,
in a long time.
Historic sign. But then inside, behind the historic sign, is kind of a French, homemade, chef-run, like a very nice, homey place. None of these places are too crowded. None of them are too buzzy. And people love them because they're quiet.
They should go. Okay. You're still having a show Saturday before.
Yeah, broadcasting live.
Yeah, so.
Come on down.
The last thing we should say, there's a day every time, right? So it's what? It's.
I slightly do this to annoy you. There's a day every day, and then I look to find out what they are.
It's milk chocolate day, right?
It's National Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Milkshake Day, that's right. Yes. Yeah, not just, yeah.
And I was in Milk Jam just with my kids the other day, which is the, you know, avant-garde ice cream parlor on Lindale and 28th Street. And I was looking at the board, and they will make any ice cream they have into a milkshake. And then for $3, you can get them to throw a shot of Appleton rum in there. And I thought, oh, that's a good.
Why didn't you bring that in? I mean, I can tell you a newsman, it would still be here. This entire segment, he would not have left. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and they have that very dark chocolate ice cream, the black. So you can do that. Yeah, I think so.
Let's see how far.
Whose birthday is it out there?
Yeah, I was going to say, how far away is that for me right now? It's actually not that far away. Thank you, Dara.
Thank you.
All right, the Big Bacon event. She'll be there live Don't just listen. Head on out there to beautiful River Falls. You can always send us an email because our email is functioning. We like that.
How about that?
Chad.Hartman@Entercom.com. You can podcast the show, WCCRadio.com/Chad. And what you should be doing all the time, this is a no-brainer, radio.com. It is a great app. It is simple. It is free. It's a way you can podcast. You can listen to our show, other shows, other Entercom stations across the country. Cost you nothing. Do it right now. Radio.com, the app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.